Grace and mercy and peace be to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. This week at Concordia, we were partnering with both church and school to celebrate an event that was happening across the nation. Here at church and school, we celebrated something called National Lutheran Schools Week as we saw all of the fun things God is doing here in our own midst. At Concordia, we want to recognize and affirm all expressions of Christian education, whether that be at home, wraparound programs at charter schools or private schools, or godly Christian teachers professing the matchless name of Jesus Christ and living out their witness in the public school. But here, we had a fun, crazy, wacky week. There were silly hair days. There was sports team days, and I tell you all this to tell you that. On Friday, the boys' A1A basketball team challenged the staff for a basketball game. And let's just say this, I am not as young as I used to be. I was expecting to land there on that Friday and to show those 6th, 7th, and 8th graders mercy, because I'm a benevolent and a good pastor. But I was reminded, I'm not a three-sport athlete anymore. I don't run 5 miles a day. And I expected to show them mercy, but instead, God humbles the proud. And while it was fun and good, they were able to show me mercy and love and compassion. And my friends, this is what we are thinking about for today. Just one example from our community about generous mercy. But my friends, we have something even greater. We have a generous mercy from our Heavenly Father. Lamentations chapter 3 says it the best. The mercies of God are new every morning. This is one example. But I want to see and show you today what a few of our members here think of that word mercy and what it means for them. I invite you to now turn your attention to the screen as we see some of those answers.
This week, we asked people about mercy, what generous mercy looks like, and how they've been shown generous mercy by the people in their lives. What is mercy?
I think mercy can be another word for loving and caring and showing concern for someone.
What does generous mercy look like?
Generous mercy is sacrificial a lot of times. I think of parents.
For me, mercy is definitely forgiving someone even when they don't deserve it, especially when they don't even ask for it. You just forgive them out of the good of your heart.
What is mercy?
Mercy is, it's a process of generosity that we have in each of our hearts, I think. Mercy we received through the grace of our Lord, and mercy we extend by looking for and caring for people. Because God comforted us, we can comfort others. It says so right there in 2 Corinthians.
I think generous mercy would look like thinking beyond yourself, going out of your way to show compassion to somebody, and always probably out of the understanding of how it's been shown to you. And so you're, again, reflecting God's love and God's mercy to someone else, and really sacrificing your own desires or putting someone else first, to where it's going beyond just you as a person and seeing how God has equipped you to serve others.
I feel like I'm shown generous mercy by God because he forgives our sins over and over again. And there's certainly been instances in my life where people have forgiven me when I didn't think I should have been forgiven, and that was very generous of them and very merciful.
Have you been shown mercy by other people?
All the time. I've been through a period of bereavement, and I've been so supported. I've never felt close to the Lord because of the mercy and and caring that's been extended to me.
I'm thankful for all the people that were able to make this possible. Stay tuned. You might find yourself in one of these in the days to come. But mercy is what we're talking about for today. It's something our community knows so well, and it's something Jesus Christ comes and teaches us pointedly in our Bible lesson for today. Let me set the stage for you. Jesus is sitting down, and he's on a mountainside with his disciples and his followers. And we hear today in the gospel reading his most famous sermon, the most famous sermon that has ever been recorded. It's called the Beatitudes, the Attitude of the Beatitudes for Christians, his Sermon on the Mount. And in the Bible itself, I remember looking at this in the red letter edition of my Bible and being blown away by how long Jesus talks in this part of the Holy Scriptures. The red letter edition is where you have red letters where the modern day editors put the words of Jesus in red. And it goes on for pages and pages and pages in this portion of the scripture, because Jesus sits down and teaches us about this thought for today. He starts off by saying, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be sons and daughters of the King. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for they will be shown justice. Blessed are the righteous, for they will be shown all sorts of other righteousness." And today, after he grounds and establishes our identity with him, he turns and says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Now, when I teach this in confirmation, I make a big deal out of two things. I say, grace is over here and mercy is over here. And let me just establish and affirm that up front with you for a moment. Grace is not mercy. Grace is over here. When I teach it, I say grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a free gift. It's him forcing, giving me something. Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. It is a gift. All that I need to support this body and life. Why does the sun come up every single day? Because God snaps his fingers and says, "Son, get up. I need you to grace people." But mercy is something different. Mercy is not God giving me something. Mercy is God not giving me something. The mercies of God are new every morning. I wake up and God looks at me and knows what I should get. Punishment both now and the life to come. And every single day, every single morning, God wakes up and says, "I'm not going to give you that. Instead, I'm going to grace you and show you my love." These are two thoughts, two words, and a big reality, because Christians know, as the Holy Scriptures rightly say, how broken and how far we come from God's holy laws, from the moral compass that we find in the Ten Commandments. Think back with me to just one quick example. The Exxon Valdez oil spill. Do you remember this about 30 years ago? A big oil tanker off the coast of Alaska. There was a whole bunch of issues with the captain and the crew. Well, long story short, an order came down and the big oil tanker hit something, and there was 110 million barrels of oil that was spilled into the sea, only to be eclipsed by the BP oil spill that happened back in 2010, as over 200 million of gallons of oil spilled into the sea. And there was the Ducks and the Dawn commercial, and we thought this was the most harmful, man-made, at the time, ecological problem in the world. But my friends in Jesus, all of that muck and mire and oil on ducks and baby seals pales in comparison to what we are. We have offended the guy who made heaven and earth, the guy in charge. And this guy shows us mercy. Sometimes we need to hear that. Sometimes we need to give that to other people, don't we? You might be someone that has been on the poor receiving end of someone who hasn't given you the benefit of the doubt, someone who hasn't shown you love the way that God shows us all love, and it hurts. Maybe you're suffering today. Body, mind, of spirit. Maybe today, as I know for some of you, it's the first day without a loved one in your life. Maybe you have children. They have the audacity to grow up and leave your house, and now they don't even call you anymore on your birthday. Maybe you were onboarded to a job and you were made promise after promise about your longevity at the company, and now the person who onboarded you doesn't even know your name or care about you at all in the world. We send daggers into other people. Your spouses, your significant others, your partners don't look the same, smell the same, act the same as they did when we first met them, and we are the people who have been violated and know what it's like to live in a broken world. And my friends, for that, there is mercy. And that mercy comes in this world, and he has a name, and that name is Jesus Christ, who teaches us today what this means. A plurality of generosity from our Heavenly Father. A Jesus who comes to the Holy Scriptures, and in Matthew chapter 15, heals the person who is blind. In Matthew chapter 17, heals the woman's daughter who is suffering with demon possession, who heals the epileptic. In Matthew chapter 19, this Jesus who comes and embodies mercy. But I want to land and conclude our time together with this final thought. I know from being your pastor that sometimes this is still a difficult concept to understand. So let me close with this final meditation and thought. Being a pastor, I bump into a whole bunch of different people. And at Winkle and other get-togethers with pastors, you hear stories like this. Once there was a pastor, a guy who stuck and preached for like 40 years. He was on his final days here on this earth. So the church where he was a member, I deployed a pastor to go and see him. And he sits down, he has a conversation with him, and it's in those final bedside moments that people really open up about a whole bunch of stuff, and the pastor who is there dying looks at the guy who's visiting and says, you know what, pastor, I gotta be honest with you. I just don't think that I was good enough. I don't think I preached well enough. I don't think I taught Bible study well enough. I don't think I led people in generosity well enough. I wasn't spending enough time at home with my family. And I got to be honest, I wasn't good enough. And what did that visiting pastor say? He looked him in the eye and said, you're right. You haven't been good enough. Why? Because that's mercy. That's the gospel. It's a recognition that we are not good enough, but thanks be to God, mercy has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. So I want you to examine your life for a moment. I know some of you are struggling with this. You tell me, Pastor, I don't think I've been good enough. I'm not a very good spouse. Not a very good kid. I'm a crummy employee. I have a bad attitude. And yes, we can encourage and get better, but the reality is this. We are the people of God who are broken and receive his mercy anyways. That's the gospel. A mercy who comes in Jesus is whipped for us, crucified for us, but rises to life everlasting. My friends in Jesus, cling to this generous mercy. Cling to this hope. Cling to this gospel who changes lives radically both in this life and the life to come. Why? Because blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. May our Heavenly Father always keep us mindful of this. We pray in his mercy and peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.